Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, we're going to focus a lot on gold in this interview because, well, gold is quite volatile right now, and today it's at least having a good day, a bit volatile on the upside as we're recording this on the futures market. Gold is up about $28, pretty similar on the spot market as well. That means that the futures, we are back above 1700, right around 1714 right now. I know a lot of the gold bugs are looking at today's action saying, hey, hopefully this is a bottom. It has bounced nice after a pretty rough start to the week. Monday and Tuesday, gold was just heading lower and lower. The fact of the matter is this is still going to be a down month for gold and another down quarter. But Jordan, are you taking any, at least positivity away from some of the moves today in gold?
Not really, Corey. I think it could be kind of like an end of the quarter book squaring type of thing. I could be wrong about that, but that's my insight. And now I would say, I mean, just looking at the weekly chart, if we could see gold on a weekly basis close above 1750, I think that would be significant. But otherwise, I think selling pressure is more likely to continue than not.
Now, Jordan, let's look at some of the headwinds then that you are outlining. You sent a recent update to all of your subscribers, and one of the highlights inside that update was discussing the net spec position in gold. Break down where we currently stand and where you see the potential headwinds still coming from in terms of the spec position.
Okay, and yeah, it's important to note there's quite a few sentiment indicators out there, and they all can serve their own purpose. I mean, the Mark Holbert has one that's been like off the charts negative for gold. There's the DSI. I haven't looked at that in a week or so, but that had come down to encouraging levels. However, the holdout has been the net spec position, you know, from the COT report. And the problem is the net spec position at one point, I'd have to go back, and at one point in the last few years, I think it was almost 400,000 contracts for gold. And it was well over 300, I think, at some point in the last 6 to 12 months. I don't have it in front of me. And that's come down quite a bit. And as of the last reading, it's come down, we'll just say 200,000 contracts, or round down a few contracts. And that was with the gold price at about $1,733 a week ago. And the report that we'll get this Friday, it's as of Tuesday, so we'll see that number below 200,000 easily. But the problem is, I mean, there's that many net spec positions, and you go back in the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, a lot of times when gold had significant bottoms, the net spec position was pretty close to zero. Now, I'm not saying it's going to come all the way down to zero, but however, when it is 200,000 contracts, I mean, they have that many contracts left. So there's no reason that, you know, gold has to bottom at, you know, 170,000 or 150,000. I mean, it could bottom at 100,000 or 80,000 or 120, but that's just my point, is there's still a lot of spec contracts out there to be sold that can push the market lower. And you know, look, I also like to measure it as a percentage of open interest. Now, open interest actually has come off a lot, and it hasn't been that high in recent months. So that's another positive. But, you know, going back to the last bull market, I was looking at some charts last night, and I remember also in recent years, in terms of the percentage where it bottomed at, in bull market corrections, you know, it came down several times to 20 or 25% of open interest. Now, 25% right now would be about 120,000 contracts. So that's still well below the 200,000 where we're at a week ago. Now, I don't know, Corey, if it's going to come down to 120,000, you know, 150, 130, 165. I don't know. But I'm just saying there's still spec contracts out there to be sold. And I think that, as well as the, you know, looking at the charts of the market, are, you know, in addition to other things, but those are two things I want to discuss right now. You know, looking at the charts and that, you know, they tell me that gold is likely to move lower. I mean, if you look at the monthly chart, just look at a monthly candle chart, go back 10 years. And I mean, you can draw a line right around 1560 And there's quite, I mean, the gold has touched that 1560 level numerous times on a monthly basis in the last 10 years. And then you can factor in the 50% retracement. I mean, depending on how you measure it, I mean, it comes to be 1560, 1575 in that area. So that to me is a really strong target for gold. There's on the monthly chart, there's a little bit of support around 1600. So I'd keep that level in mind, but I think that's the right there in the upper 1500s. That's one level that I'm really focused on. And I think if gold is gonna go lower, over the coming days and weeks, I think that's the level that we should focus on. And you know, we want to time our buys as we get around 1600 or slightly below.
Okay, fair enough. I see that 1560 level, especially on that run up in 2019 too, is one of the short-term stopping points that it took about 5-6 months to break back through that level. So still some more potential downside. Jordan, how does this all tie into U.S. equity markets as those broadly outside of tech continue to run higher? The S&P making another higher high today. How crucial is it to understand that still investors' attitude, investors' focus is on more of the risk on assets and more in U.S. equities?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Look, the equity market looks like it's making a higher high today, another new high. When that happens, it's very difficult for capital to flow into gold. And if you look at the gold to S&P 500 ratio, I mean, that has barely had any, you know, upward movement since October. It's been really plunging in recent months, and it's come down. There's a 2018 low right around 0.4. Before today, it was at 0.43. So that's another thing to keep in mind. I'm kind of hoping, I mean, it is getting pretty close to where it should at least bounce. But that ratio, I mean, it hasn't bounced yet. And it's right now, it's not favorable for gold. So there's nothing more to say than that. I mean, it's not favorable, and, you know, gold's not going to begin its next leg higher until it outperforms the stock market. I mean, a real leg higher, not just like an oversold bounce.
Yeah, fair enough. But that's been the story over the last 7-8 months too, is the underperformance of gold really against everything, but especially U.S. equity markets just continuing to move higher. Jordan, what about this whole inflation argument? I keep on hearing from a lot of the gold bulls that, look, all this money that's printed, it's going to lead to inflation. And even some of the generalists are still leaning in the camp of saying, look, inflation will have to start perking up. Again, you talk to the gold bulls, though, and they say, well, you know, you judge inflation differently. You look at shadow stats and what they're saying inflation is at over the last decade compared to what numbers we get out of the government. Fact of the matter is, though, the government numbers have still shown slow or no inflation or limited inflation. And even now, the market, when you look at some of the other commodities, seems like the inflation narrative is starting to dissipate a little bit. Where do you stand on that?
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about there, Corey. I would say, as far as shadow stats, you have to look at the direction, look at the trend. So the trend in shadow stats, it tends to be similar to the regular stats. And what we really want to see, at least from the regular stats, the regular CPI, once it breaks above 3% and sustains it, I mean, that's going to be hugely significant, but we're not quite there yet. You know, for the shadow stats, I don't know what the key level is, but you could probably go back 20 or 30 years and draw trend lines and see that the rate of inflation has not been in a long-term upward trend. So that's what I'd say about the statistics. It's always the trend, the direction it's moving in, that's more important than the absolute level. Now, with regards to inflation, I mean, let's look at the market. I mean, gold, I know it's getting hit really hard, but I mean, it did recently nearly hit 2100. I mean, copper had a massive move higher. So the market it's already discounted a lot of the inflation that's to come. There's a lot of nuance here, by the way, but the reason that, you know, gold has corrected really hard and, you know, silver wasn't able to break out during this correction and is coming back now is because the market is not sensing stagflation yet or really accelerating inflation. So the market thinks it will be contained, at least for the time being. And the market looks 6 to 9 months ahead. And so if you look at commodities and some commodity stocks, and you look at some of these, like the rare earth ETF, the silver stocks ETF, you look at copper, they basically all have hit major long-term resistance levels, and they're starting to pull back a little bit. And that pullback is coinciding with the dollar, which put in a low and is rebounding. And that rebound is rebounding, rebound, I should say, is now gaining traction. So you look at the charts, at least for most, or I should say the bulk of this year, what they're saying is dollar rally, commodity selling off. I mean, you could call it a big counter trend move, but that could be the theme of this year. So look, the markets discount things in advance. They look 2 to 3 quarters into the future. And look, everybody was bullish on inflation just a couple months ago, but you know, commodity stocks are roaring, but gold was already correcting and underperforming, and the dollar was already stabilizing and starting to rally a bit. So that narrative, there were things under the surface that were telling you that narrative was likely to change, you know, as of a couple months ago when people were still excited about inflation-focused investments. So I think that's the key takeaway, Corey, is if gold would have kept moving or it'd be a lot stronger, that would tell you that the market thinks that you know, there could be stagflation this year or inflation could accelerate. But look, with the dollar stabilizing, its rally is gaining traction. You know, commodities have hit resistance. They're pulling back. Gold's already been selling off for 8 months. This is all telling you that inflation is not going to turn into stagflation this year. And so the other thing, last thing on this, Corey, people will talk about government spending, the $1.9 trillion bill. They're going to spend lots of money. The $1.9 trillion, it hasn't hit the economy yet. So that's going to take a lot of time to make its way into the economy. And then we'll see what happens from that point. Now, the news is starting to leak out that, you know, the Biden administration, they want to do another infrastructure package. Now, it's possible they could use reconciliation again, but it would be at the very end of the year for next year. And so that's starting to be floated. And so my thinking is, Corey, that the $1.9 trillion, that'll start hitting the economy later this year. And so if they're able to pass, you know, a huge infrastructure bill at the very end of the year, you know, that amongst other things could shift the narrative to, you know, maybe stagflation or the potential for accelerating inflation next year. But as far as the here and now and the, you know, the next 3 to 6 months, you know, the market is telling you there's not going to be stagflation or accelerating inflation.
All right. Well, one thing we also need to consider too is just how much all the commodities ran. Gold started running before, and then base metals, energy metals. A lot of commodities broadly ran very aggressively over the last about 1 to 2 years, especially in the last year. But, you know, sometimes the correction comes very quickly as well. And quite frankly, yeah, maybe everyone did get a little ahead of themselves in terms of that whole inflation narrative, because how many years has it been now that we heard that inflation needs to pick up, and it just has not, either domestically or globally. Jordan, good chatting with you, buddy. Thank you for summarizing some of the key notes that you sent out to subscribers recently. I will post a link to your website so everyone can continue to keep up to date with you, and we will chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a very happy Easter.